The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Mem Chet. Today's daf is being studied. Le'elu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Latzlachat Toshavei Eretz Israel and Lishmiratam, their protection, and for the Hatzlacha of Hayalei Israel. La'omdim Amishmar Arsenu on all the borders. Bayabasha Baviru Bayam. Yeten Hashem Kod Negafim Alenu Kol Hakamim Alenu Negafim Nifnehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmor V'Yatzil Otanu V'Otem V'Ten Shalom Ba'ares U'Ba'ares Yon Goel Amen V'Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem Chet Amud Rishon, actually one word on the bottom of Men Zayin Amud Bet Ba'e Rav Papa. We continue in the questions that Rav Papa asked. We started a series of questions yesterday from Rav Papa that the Gemara ended up in a teku. Now the Gemara continues on these questions. Ba'ay Rav Papa, Rav Papa has a question. Davke lekometz bedufne demana mai. We know that after the kometz is taken, let's review, when you had a mincha, so you had, let's say, a pile of flour, so you would take your hands, the three fingers, right, and you would place your hand in the flour, and you would cup with your three fingers, not your thumb or your pinky, the middle fingers, and you would cup up the flour. Now, after you cup up the flour, you have to place it in a kli sharet. Only after you place it in a kli sharet, that's a vessel that would make it kodesh, then you put it on the mizbeach and you sacrifice it. So the question over here was, dabke le kometz bedufne demana. Let's say you somehow attached the kometz to the side of the keli sharet. You didn't put it on the base of the keli sharet. It hit the wall. So the question is, does it become kadosh or not? So the Gemara gives the two sides of the questions. Mai, toch keli ba'inan ve'aika. Do you say that the main thing is that it's within the confines of the keli, it's in the airspace of the keli, and it is, and therefore it's okay. Odil ma'anacha betocho ketekuno ba'inan ve'aleka. Or do we say, no, it has to be placed in the keli in the normal way? In the normal way, you put something in the keli, is when it sits on its base. So the Gemara says to this question, teku. Again, for the Eliyahu Navi to answer. Ba'e mor bar Rav Asheh. Mor bar Rav Asheh has a question. Afche lemana. Which literally means, the keli sharet was turned upside down. Was turned over. V'dabke lekometz be'ar'ite, and the kometz was attached on the floor, on the bottom of the keli, demana, mahu. What's the din? Hanacha betocho ba'inan ve'aika. Is the main thing that the mincha must be placed in the keli, and it is placed in the keli, and therefore it's okay. Or dilma hanacha ketekuno ba'inan ve'deka. Or do we say that the hanacha has got to be placed in the normal way, and you don't have that, and the Gemara leaves that in the teku as well. Now, what is the case exactly over here? So, some of the mefarshim explain it, that you actually turn the keli over, but we're talking about a keli that when you turn it over, has, let's say, another keli on the bottom of it that has a receptacle. Something like, let's say, our kiddush cups that have, let's say, a stem. So if you turn it over, it also has a clearly on the bottom, that the base of it, right, when you turn it over. So they're learning now, when you turn over the keli sharet in such a way, and you put the kumis on the bottom part of it, so one side of the question is, well, it needs tocha keli. This is tocha keli, because it's also hollow, that area, so you're putting it in the keli. It's a bet kibun, therefore it should be okay. Or do you argue and say, no, it's got to be put in the normal way. The normal way is not to put it on the back. You put it in the front. That's one way to interpret the case. That's the way that she explains it in Menachot Tafyud Aleph. Harambam over here has I should say, Shitamiku Betzet over here has a different interpretation. He says like this. It's actually talking where you stuck the chometz to the bottom of the keli, however the keli was upside down, so you put it inside the keli, so it's really at the roof now of the keli when the keli is upside down. Now he proves this theory because if you look at the lashon of the Gemara, it's atchelemana, you turn the keli over v'davkele komitz, davke is you stuck it, so the word davke is mashma that it needed to be stuck because it's upside down. According to the way that she understood, you don't have to stick anything. You're just placing it into the receptacle when it's turned over. So thereby, and the two lines of reasonings of the Shtemikul Betz, the Gemara is, do you say, well, bottom line, it's in the keli. And it really is in the keli. I mean, toch keli vayin, and it is in the keli proper. Or do you say, no, it's got to be placed in the normal way. The normal way, you don't place it upside down. You place it when it is right side up. So the Gemara leaves that in a teku as well. Ba'era papa. We go back to another question that Rav Papa had. Melo chofnav she'amru. Regarding Yom Kippur, so we said that the Kohen Gadol has to take his handfuls of the ketoret. Right? Torah says melo chofnav. So the Gemara wants to know how melo, how full those hands have to be. Mechukot or gedushot. Mechukot would be leveled, and gedushot would be heaping. Meaning, when you take the ketoret in your hands, does it have to be level, let's say, just flat across your hands? Or does it have to be like a heaping mound of ketoret? How much? So the Gemara says, Amar le Rabbi Abal Rav Asher, Tashema, Melo chofnav she'amru. This melo chofna that they said by Kippur, lo mechukot velo gedushot, ela tefufot, not leveled and not heaping. Ela tefufot literally means rounded, which means it's not level, but it's a little mound. So you see a little arc, let's say over the ketoret. So it says somewhere in between. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tenaan hatam. We learned over there. That would be in Zevachim. The Gemara is going to give us some facts first from a Mishnah, or actually two Mishnayot in Masechet Zevachim, and then it's going to pose its question. Nishpach hadam ala respa. One of the services that are done in the Beit HaMikdash by the Kohanim is Kabbalat Adam. That means after the animal is nishpat, a Kohen must catch the blood from the neck in a kli sharet. And that makes the blood Kodesh, and it makes it viable now for sprinkling, which is viable for Kapara. So the Gemara's question is like this. Actually, it's a Mishnah. Nishpach adam ala ritzpa. They made the Sha'ita, but the blood spilled on the floor. The asfo, and then the Kohen went and collected it from the floor into a Kedi. Mishnah's din pasul. We're learning from it that it's got to go from the neck of the animal into a kli sharet directly. Next Mishnah. Min ha-kli ala ritzpa. Let's say it landed in the kli sharet, but then it fell out of the kli sharet to the floor, the asfo, and then you collected it up, kasher. Why? Because so long as it hit the kli sharet immediately from the bet ha-shechita, from the place where you slaughtered, even though it fell subsequently, it's still considered kadosh. So the Gemara says, Mina nemile. How do we know this? Meaning, how do you know that you needed to go directly from the neck of the animal into a klisharet? The Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Pasuk. Velakah midam hapar. And you shall take from the blood of the par. So the Gemara has a derashah here. midam nefesh velo midam aor velo midam atamsit. First derasha is which blood is considered the blood of Kabbalat Adam. So the Gemara says it's called dam hanefesh. Dam hanefesh is the blood that gushes out of the body of the animal, not the dam aor, which means the blood that comes from the flesh of the animal when you make the incision, or what's called dam tamsit. Dam tamsit is the blood that remains. That's what literally it means. But dam tamsit would mean in the beginning after shechita it trickles a little and then it gushes out, and then after the gush it also trickles in the end. That's called dam tamsit. So the Gemara is only a first halakha. When you take midam apar, it's got to be from the blood, meaning the life-sustaining blood of the par.
Sounds like an artery.
Right, that's the main gush that comes out after the first trickle of dam et tamsit. So that's the first din. And only that blood is kasher for kabbalat adam. Next derash, midam apar, dam mehapar yekabelenu. Gemara is making a derash here. It says in the pasuk, Velakach midam apar. So the Gemara is putting the mem of midam apar. Take the mem of midam and put the mem on the word par. So as if it's saying dam mehapar. The blood has to fall in the keli straight from the par. The is al kadatach midam apar. Because if you want to learn the pasuk literally and say it's midam apar, which should imply from the blood of the par, meaning you don't have to catch all the blood. You can learn it literally, midam apar, from the blood of the par. Midam vafilu miksatna, meaning even partial blood. Can't be v'amar of Yehuda. Hamikabel sadik shiyikabel et kol damo shel par. The one that's catching the blood has to catch all dam and nefesh. Shne'emar ve'et kol dam apar yishpoch el yisod mizbayah. It means, when, after you take the blood, catch, you have to pour it on the mizbayah. So it says, ve'et kol adam yishpoch. So therefore we know when it says in the pasuk, ve'lakach midam apar, it cannot mean from the blood. Ela shmach minam, my midam apar. What does the word midam apar mean? Dam mehapar. Just switch the mem. Instead of saying midam, say dam and put the mem on the hapar. So it's dam mehapar. Yekabelenu. Now vekasabar, this is a shita that holds gudrain. I'm sorry, gudrain umosifin vidorshin. Well, this is a new style of derasha that we're using now. You have a mem in one word, you're taking it off that word and you're putting it on the word next to it. So the Gemara says, yes, obviously this rabbi holds of this style of derasha. It's called gudrain, meaning you subtract umosifin and you add vidorshin, you make a derasha. Meaning you can subtract the mem from one word, put it on the word next to it, and then make your derasha. So it's like what we would call today cut and paste. This is the Gemara's version of gur'in umosifin vidurshin. You take it off from one place and putting it somewhere else. And anyway, that's the start of the derasha. Now once we conclude, and this is according to everybody, once we conclude that you have to catch the blood directly from the neck of the animal in the klisharet, now the papa is going to ask his question as it relates to the ketoret. Ba'e Rav Papa asked, Nitpazer haketoret mimelo chofnav mahu. Now we know the Kohen, he collects it with his hands, the ketoret on Kippur, but let's say it fell on the floor, it was nitpazer, it scattered, before he poured it into the ladle. Then we say yesterday in the Mishnah that you had a kaf. He had a ladle that the Kohen poured the ketoret into, from his hands into the ladle. So now to get what I want, so before he poured it into the ladle, it fell on the floor. So the Gemara's question is, Yado kesavar behema dame ufsula, do you consider the Kohen's hands like the neck of the animal, and therefore it'll be pesula, because just like from the neck of the animal, it's got to go straight into a keli. So if you consider his hands like the neck of the animal, so it's got to go straight into a keli. Instead it fell on the floor, therefore it'll be pesula. Or dilma kli sharet dame. Or maybe I consider the Kohen's hands like a kli sharet. She says, maybe once it gets in his hands, that's the klisha, and it's kodesh already. Velo pesula, and it's not going to be pasul. Tiku, and the only thing that's in the tiku as well. Which means like this, the Gemara has a safek, dafka by the ketoret. Which is even by a minha, let's go to a minha for a second, which is the komets. The Gemara agrees the same law will apply by komets, meaning a guy, kohen, takes the komets or the mincha, right? He's got to put it in the klisharet. If it fell out of his hands on the floor before he put it in klisharet, pasul. Because if we make a proper analogy, what shechita is to an animal, kimitza is in the mincha. Let me explain to you how that works. What is shechita basically doing? It's removing the blood from the animal in order to use it for kapara, for zirikah. Kimitza is that same thing. You're taking from the flower of the mincha and making it viable for kapara. So we all agree as well that by a mincha, the komet's got to go from his hands into the klisharet. Our only safik is by the ketoret. Why? One logic is to say, well, listen, the ketoret's also got to go into a keli. We learned in our Mishnah earlier that you have to put it into the kaf, that empty ladle, you got to pour it into. So I can argue and say, well, the Kohen's hands would be analogous to the neck of the animal, so to speak, where the blood is falling out of, and you have to spill it directly into the ladle for it to be kasher. If it's spilled on the floor, it's not going to be. That's one side. But you could argue another logic and say, no. Really, if you remember, the ladle is not mandatory on its own. The only reason why you bring a ladle is because there was no other way for him to bring the coals and the ketoret simultaneously into the Kodesh Kodashim. But hypothetically, if there would be a way to bring it in together, the ladle is not mandatory. The main thing is that he makes chafina b'shtei yadav. So you could argue that his hands are really considered klisharet. That's considered the item. That's considered the klisharet already. And therefore, I don't care what happens to it after it's in his hands. Even if it falls on the floor, it got kedusha already once with his kohen's hands. Which means the ladle is not like the klisharet of the animal or of the mincha. There, it's got to go into that klisharet in order for it to become kadosh. Therefore, it's a argument there. If it fell on the floor before it went to klisharet, no good, it's pasul. But here, the ladle is not mandatory, so to speak, of itself. The Torah doesn't even talk about a ladle. The Torah talks about putting it in his hands. But because of practice, there is no way to hold it in his hands and bring a machtah in the Kodesh Kodashim. So he said, okay, got to put it in a ladle. So I could argue and say, maybe his hands have a din of klisharet immediately, and therefore if it falls on the floor, it's okay, it's kodesh already. So that's the papa's question, davka by the ketoret, and to that he leaves it also in a tiku. Now we go to the next question. Ba'e la papa. La papa has the next question. Hishev b'chafinat ketoret mahu. Let's review the laws of pigul. Literally, the word pigul means disgusting. Now, how does the word pigul affect a korban, or the concept of pigul affect a korban? Halacha says that a kohen, when he's doing the services of a korban, if he has a bad intention at the time of the service, that bad intention can make the korban pasul. And that bad intention is called pasul. What type of bad intention can posel a korban? Let's say he has intention to eat the korban beyond its time. Let's say it's a korban, you got 1 day to eat it. He's thinking in his mind, I'm going to eat this korban 2 days from now. Even though he ends up eating it in the right time, it doesn't matter. The thought itself of eating a korban chutz lizmano is something that's a machshava posel pigul, or for that matter chutz l'mkomo. If let's say a certain korban can only be eaten in the walls of Yerushalayim, and the kohen's thinking when he's bringing the korban, well, I'm going to eat it outside the walls, even though he ends up eating it in the walls, doesn't matter. The machshava of chutz l'mkomo has the ability to posel a korban. So now the Gemara's question is: does pigul apply by hafinat aketoret? means, let's say the Kohen Gadol on Kippur, he comes along and he's scooping up the ketoret in his palms, and he's thinking in his brain, I'm not going to put it on the coals until tomorrow. That's chutzas mano. You got to put it on the coals on Kippur. So is pigul we know pigul is a factor by korbanot. Sheila is it a factor also by the ketoret? So that's the Gemara's question. Is Gemara says like this: Ba'ira papa hishev b'hafinat ketoret mahu. Rashi hishev b'hafinat ketoret al menat laktira lemahar. With intention to bring it the next day. What's the sheila? Miyamrinan yalif melo melo mimincha. Well, maybe I'll make a gezerah shava melo melo from mincha. If you remember on yesterday's daf, the Gemara and the Amud Rishon entertained a possible gezerah shava between hafinat ketoret and kometz mincha, because by both it says the word melo. It says melo kumso and it says melo chofnav. Now, if you do make a gezerah shava melo melo, I'll say ma'atam, just like by mincha. Mehanya ba machshava, the machshava is viable, meaning it does something, meaning pigul is an issue. Hachaname mehanya ba machshava. So to hear, I'll say by ketoret that it affects, it's viable, meaning it impacts the ketoret. Or lo, or maybe I'll tell you, no, maybe you don't make the gezerah shava. So that's what really the papa's question is over here. You make the gezerah shava, and if you do, it is subject to pigul. If you don't, you don't. The only problem is with this is the following. The problem is like this. On yesterday's daf, we brought a question from the papa. The question of Rav Papa was, by hafinata ketoret, when the ketoret, let's say, is overflowing out of his hands, we call that birutz, is it considered ketoret, or is it considered shiure ketoret? How do you consider the birutz that's outside his hands? So the Gemara told Rav Papa, what do you mean? What kind of question is that? That question was asked already. What do you mean? Above, when we talked about, does ketoret, can you use a measuring cup? So we said it depends if you learn a gezerah shava from kometz or not. If you learn a gezerah shava, you can't use a measuring cup. If you don't learn a gezerah shava, you can use a measuring cup. Which means your question up now, birutz by ketoret, is really dependent if you're going to make a gezerah shava, because by kometz of a mincha, birutz is nothing. The stuff that overflows out of his hands is considered shiurei ketoret. So the Gemara asked on the papa yesterday's daf that what? Papa, what are you asking? Your question is superfluous. Your question is, do you learn the Gezerah Shavah or not? If you learn the Gezerah Shavah, then the Birutz is not an issue. If you don't learn the Gezerah Shavah, then it is. So then the papa redefined this question. Today you can ask the same question on the papa. The papa, you're coming along now with a new item. You want to know, is pigul a factor? So your shayla is, do you learn melo melo? Or you don't. That's a standing question we have already. I mean, this is a question we have already by the Gemara above, by the case of the measuring cup. Do you learn the measuring cup or you don't learn the measuring cup? So why would he have to ask the question again? Seemingly this question is already on the table. So Rashi is bothered with this. Look at Rashi, Dibur Matqil, Ve'achaname Mehenya Machshava. Bahafinata olo. Now behacha leka laakshuye ainu hach kede akshe le'il. You can't ask on this question. Ainu hach. We asked this already, like we asked above. Danu tarvayu ba'ye havulu bechad ta'ama. Which means the two questions that we asked above were mida, measuring cup. And the next question was birutz. Both were playing on the same word, bekumso. Bekumso taught me, number one, it's got to be with his fingers and not with a cup. And bekumso also taught me that, not the extra, just bekumso, just the part of the kometz. So there, when the Gemara asked the question on Birutz by Ketoret, the Gemara asked on Papaya, we asked that already, which means you're asking the Gezerah Shavah question. Do we go with the word Bekumso or not? The same word Bekumso by Midah is the same word Bekumso that you're going to learn for Birutz. It's the same word that if you make a Gezerah Shavah, both will apply. And if you don't make a Gezerah, both don't apply. It's actually the same word that you're learning both concepts. But Rashi's going to say over here, here we don't need the word Bekumso. For this Chiddush of Pigul, the word Bekumso is not an issue. And therefore, what Rav Papa is asking, just because you make a Gezerah Shavah of Bekumso doesn't mean that everything else is connected between the two subjects. So Rav Papa is asking that, leave the other word Gezerah Shavah. I want to know, do you compare the two subjects, Melo Melo, for this item? Which means, the Bekumso item, yes, that question, right? Yes, the by Midah. Do you doresh the word Bekumso and say that, just like it says Bekumso by Minha, it should say, and therefore the Gezerah would make it like it says Bechofno by Ketoret, and therefore it would mandate that you can't use a Midah. Also, what if Papa asked the next question, Birutz by Ketoret? We asked that already. If you hold Melo Melo, the same word Bekumso will teach me no Birutz, and by Ketoret also Bechofno, because you make a Gezerah Shavah, and there's no Birutz. Here we're not going on the word Bekumso anymore. Here we're just, it's Kistamik, right? What Melo Melo links the two subjects together, correct? So I want to know, is it linked to Inyan Pigul? This, we never asked this question before. Which means, I did it, Rav Papa, you asked a superfluous question when you rehashed the Bekumso word. You asked that already. All right, that's Midah. So if you do it for Midah, you do it for Virut. So I mean, it's the same word. Here, I'm not going on that word anymore. I want to know now, Stam, Melo, Melo, there's two common words. Can I make an analogy between the two subjects and say, just like Komet is subject to Pigul, so to Ketoret is subject to Pigul. After that, the Gemara goes on to ask, or to prove it, and says, Amar le Rav Shimi bar Asher le Rav Papa. So he answers him. He says, Tashema, Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva in Hagigah, actually. Over there it's talking about the different chumrot the Hachamim put on things of a Kodesh stature. For example, the ashes of Para Aduma, the ashes of Hatat. The Gemara says over here, if a Tameh touches even part of the ashes, all the ashes become Tameh. Let's say you have the ashes in a Keli, right? So Tamul Yom comes and he touches just, you know, one of the crystals of the ashes. Doesn't matter. He touches part of it, Miksatokikudo, the whole thing becomes Tameh. So Rabbi Akiva says, not only ashes, but I'm going to give you other items of Kodesh, that if a Tameh touch part of them, all of them become Tameh. And what are they? Hosif Rabbi Akiva. I mean, not only the ashes of the Hatat, but what? Let's get that word. Hasolet, it should say. They change it to the word solet. Hasolet, that would be the flower of a Minha. Veketoret, okay, that's the spices. Vehalibona, that's the frankincense, right, that they put, let's say, on the table, in the Bezichim. Vegehalim, the coals. The cause of the Ketoret, Shim Naga Tevulyom B'miksatan Pasal Et Kulan. Okay, you have a clear statement there. If a Tevulyom touched, take a case of the coals, you touched one coal, but all the coals are in the Mahta. So the Hadush of Rabbi Akiva is the Mahta or the Keli makes everything as one, even though they eat the individual coals, but the Keli makes everything as one. So the Gemara says, Kasal kadata, we're thinking mid the basal tebulyom baslana melina. Now, we have a rule. A tebulyom can only posel things that have intrinsic kedushat to them. We call that kedushat aguf. Now, kedushat aguf can only be on something that came in contact with a kli sharet. Once it comes in contact with a kli sharet, it intrinsically becomes Kodesh, the highest level of Kedushat, it's called Kedushat Aguf. Now, all these items are in a Kli Sharet. The Ketoret, the Lebona, etc. So therefore, the Gemara is deducing now, through a progression of logic. You're telling me Tibul Yom touches one of these items, the whole thing becomes Tameh. Good. Must be it's Kedushat Aguf. Now we have a rule by things that are Kedushat Aguf. It's also subject to the law of Lina. What does Lina mean? Lina means, is if it stayed overnight, let's say, Right? Once Alot HaShachar comes in the next morning, Pasul, gotta get rid of it. That's the law of Lina. So the Gemara says, well, if you tell me Tebul Yom affects these items, that means it's Kiddush HaDaguf. If it's Kiddush HaDaguf, the Gemara says, Pasal Tebul Yom, Pasla Name Lina. One more progression. Umedilina Pasla. What's rating these subjects are subject to Lina? Pasla Name Machshava. We know anything that's subject to Lina is subject to Pigul. So therefore, we answered our question. Our question was, is the Ketoret subject to Pigul? So the Gemara says, well, I'll prove it to you. First, I'll prove it to you from Rabbi Akiva's statement. You have Ketoret in the shovel, let's say, or in a keli, right? And Tebul Yom touch part of the Ketoret, the whole Ketoret becomes Tameh. That means Ketoret must have Kedushat Aguf. If it has Kedushat Aguf, it's subject to Lina. If it's subject to Lina, then we know it's subject to Pigul, which is all things that have Kedushat Aguf that are subject to Lina, are subject to Machshava. So therefore we answer the question. Rashi over here is bothered. Rashi says, hold it. What do you need this whole proof? You're starting from Tebul Yom to Lina, and then you go to Machshava. It's a Beferush Mishnah, he says. The Mishnah Mi'ila says that Ketoret, once the keli makes it kasher, it's subject to lina. And once already I know it's subject to lina, I can say it's subject to machshava. I mean, Rashi's asking, cut out the first step. You didn't have to start with tibul yom affects it to get to lina. Lina is mifinush mishnah. You understand? There's three steps here. Tibul yom. Oh, once the Tibulyom affects it, it's Kedushat Guf, then you gotta go to Lina. Oh, once you prove that there's Lina, there's Machshava. Then she says, step one, you don't need. We know Lina affects Ketoret. It's a Befirush Mishnah in the second Ma'ila. And then she leaves that in a question. Tosfot also brings down this question. The bottom Tosfot. Look at Tosfot, Tivurim Atrib, the Pasil Bet Tibulyom Pasla Balina. Look at three lines on the bottom. Hikshad Ashi. Yeah, the bottom Tosfot. Hikshad Ashi. Amai maiti midiyuka medepasil ba tebul yom pasel balina. What do you have to be that diyuk from tebul yom? Laiti me matnitin de perik bet de meila. Bring up the Ferush Mishnah meila. De ketani beedya. Hakomets ve alebona ve ketoret. Menachat Kohanim and Menachat Kohen Mashua, Menachat Nesachim, these are all different types of Menachot, Mo'alim Bahem, right? It's subject to Me'ila, Mishu Kedeshu, Kedeshu Bekeli, Hukshiru Lepasel Betibul Yom, Me'osal Kipurim, Ubelina. Right there. The Mishnah clearly says, once it goes into Keli, it's subject to Lina. Velot Yidetz. Rashi did not answer the question. So Tosfot says, V'riva tides, but the Riva answers. Da'ida tam, that Mishnah Me'ila, Ika le'memar, de'ayli biktoret de'chol ha'shana. I'll tell you, that's not talking about the Ketoret of Kippur, that's talking about the all year round Ketoret. De'hashiva kiddush keli dida, la'v'suleh betmulyom me'usar kibunim belina. When you pour the regular Ketoret of all year in its keli, that keli is mekadeshet, enough to be subject to all the laws of Tebul Yom, touching it, and Lina. Umediktari kinshad bekeli, alma, da'ayri ba'ishu tzidicha keli kedei lekadesha. The Ketoret of all year round, it needs to be placed in a keli to become kadosh. And the Rivan is making a proof from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, kinshad bekeli, implying that while it's a type of Ketoret that needs to be placed in a keli. Kiddush kamur aval Ketoret yom kippurim. That keli that you're putting it in, that's the empty ladle, that's really not a kiddush. Like we said, minadin, you don't even have to put it in that ladle. Bring it in with his hands. Ela what? Mishum delo efshar. You have no way to do it. Kedama le'el. So ema delo tepasel belina bekdushat keli dida. I could argue and say that the Kippur Ketoret, since its keli really is not mandatory, so to speak, it's more for practice. So then I could say what? Maybe it's not subject to Lina. So from that Mishnah Me'ila, you have no proof. that Mishnah Me'ila that talks about a ketoret with Lina, that's ketoret shel kol hashana. We're talking about a ketoret shel Kippur. Ah, what do you mean? They both need a keli. You're right, but one is mandatory. Therefore, it's subject to because the kedusha is there. Mashegan the Yom Kippur. Get on it. You put it in the empty ladle, but really it's only because the necessitates for you to bring it in. So therefore the Gemara has a safek. Maybe it's not subject to lina. That's what the Gemara has to go. Start from Tebul Yom affects the Ketoret of Kippur. Oh, once you do Tebul Yom affects the Kippur, then must be there is lina. Because you don't know that from the Mishnah in Me'ilah. Once there's lina, there must be also Mahshava. Ba'ira Papa. Next question. Hishev b'tehiyat gehalim mahu. Now we're discussing the case where the guy or the kohen had a machshava pesula, not at the time of the hafinat the ketoret, which the Gemara is clearly saying will impact it. Now you had it at the time of the hatiyat gehalim, when he went to the mizbeah with the golden shovel on Kippur, right? And at the time that he's shoveling the coals to eventually burn the ketoret on it, at that point he had a kavanah, I'm shoveling the coals to burn the ketoret outside its time. So we want to say like this, for sure when you have that machshava during the service of the ketoret proper, it's going to affect it. The gehalim are only a machshire mitzvah. It's a preparatory mitzvah for the ketoret. So the question is, does a machshava chutz lezman for ketoret at the time of the gechalim affect the ketoret? Because maybe I'll say, yeah, a machshava ra'a can only impact an avodah when you have that machshava during the avodah. Hatiyat gechalim is not the avodah of the ketoret. So the Gemara says, Hishev b'tchiyat gechalim. What did you think at the time of tchiyat gechalim? That you're going to bring the ketoret in the wrong time or place. Mao, makshire mitzvah ki mitzvah adamu. Do you say, well, a preparatory mitzvah is like the mitzvah, and therefore since the ketoret is going to be burnt on the coals, so at the time of the coals your machshava is going to affect the ketoret. Oh no, maybe they're not, it's just a makshire mitzvah, it's got nothing to do with anything. Gemara says, tiku. Now that she has an alternate interpretation how to interpret this Gemara, that she says like this, maybe the case is talking where, again, at the time of the coals, you're having a kavanah, again, that the ketoret will be chutz lazman. And I'll tell you that what the she'ela is, does it affect the coals? Not the ketoret. Which is really, I'll tell you, the ketoret, for sure, the is no good. Which is, for sure, at the time of the gehalim, it can affect the ketoret. Because it's really considered an avodah, and ikhshir mitzvah ki mitzvah, and therefore, if you had a bad idea on the ketoret at the time of the gehalim, ketoret's no good. But our question is not on the ketoret. Our question is on the gehalim. Meaning maybe such a thought will necessitate you to get rid of those gehalim and get new coals. That's the she'ela. And then the Gemara says, well, hechsher mitzvah ki mitzvah or not. Look at Rashi. Actually, look at Rashi, we'll say it much clearer. Look at Rashi, dibura matchil, tap Rashi, ki mitzvah dameh. Ba'avi leh ki ma'ashev ba'avodah. Okay, the first Lashon is understanding that what? That you're taking the coals, and at the time of the coals, you're thinking about the ketoret. So if you consider the coals an avodah, a service, so its bad thought is going to affect the ketoret. Ve'lashon acher, another explanation, chishev b'tchiyat ge'alim, ma'u shifsilu ge'halim b'machshava zu melaktir alehem. That's the point, which means the machshava ra'a, is it going to affect the Gehalim themselves, the Gehalim themselves. The first explanation is, how does it affect the Ketoret? The second explanation is, how does the bad thought of the Gehalim affect the Gehalim themselves? Okay. This question really is, do you consider Hatiyat Gehalim an Avodah or not? If it's an Avodah on its own, then bad machshava will affect the galim. But if you just say it's a hechsher mitzvah, it's not an avodah on its own. No. Therefore, the coals cannot get affected by these bad machshavot.
The ketoret is no good. What are you doing with the ketoret?
No, that's why I read Rashi. On this side over here, we're not discussing the Ketoret. Which, if you say it's an Avodah, the Gehalim itself, the Gehalim will become Pasul. And then we got to get new Gehalim. If you don't consider the Gehalim an Avodah in itself, it's just a Hekshir Mitzvah, so therefore what you thought during the time of the Gehalim will not affect the Gehalim. When the Ketoret is not going to be impacted according to that side. Right. According to the first explanation, it's impacting the Ketoret to Sha'at Gehalim. According to the second explanation, no, we're discussing the Gehalim themselves. If it's an Avodah, you got to get rid of the Gehalim. If it's not an Avodah, you don't got to get rid of the Gehalim. So again, let's just review the two sides of Rashi. The first side of Rashi is, do you consider the Hatiyat Gehalim part of the Ketoret process? A Makshireh Mitzvah of the Ketoret, and therefore it's like the Ketoret. Therefore, a Machshava of Pigul in the Hatiyat Gehalim will make the Ketoret Pasul. Or not? Second side was, no. We're looking at the Gehalim himself. Do we consider Gehalim a separate Avodah on its own? And if it's a separate Avodah on its own, Pigul will affect the Gehalim, and you have to renew the Gehalim. Or do you say, no, it's not a mitzvah on its own, it's just a preparatory to the Ketoret, and therefore it's not going to affect the Gehalim if you have a bad Machshava. So asks the, the Agudat Ezov, asks the question over here. His question is, what are we talking about? In the first explanation of Rashi, we're saying that the machshava ra'av pigul during the hatiyat gehalim will affect the ketoret. What ketoret? In the seder avodah, at the time of hatiyat gehalim, there is no ketoret yet. The hafinata ketoret doesn't come till afterwards. Now, it should not affect something that I didn't do yet. So with this, he says, you have to say, according to the first explanation of Rashi, that you did it out of order. You took the Ketoret first, and after you took the Ketoret, then you did the Gehalim. Maybe that's why Rashi offers a second interpretation. Because according to the interpretation, we're talking about Gehalim alone. We understand, we don't got to come on to the Ketoret yet. The Ketoret is not impacted because it's only a subject of the Gehalim itself. In any event, the Gemara leaves this question in a Teku as well. Ba'e mine mirav sheshat. Next question. They interrupt Rav Papa's questions with a question from Rav Sheshat. Holacha b'smol mahu. Now we know one of the services in the Beit HaMikdash is holacha. Meaning you got to bring the blood to the Mizbeah, or you have to bring the limbs to the Mizbeah. That's called holacha. So the she'ela over here is, if you did the holacha b'smol, what's the deen? Meaning if the Kohen carried the limbs or he carried the blood in his left hand. What should be wrong with his left hand? So we're going to see that really all avodot are supposed to be done with the right hand. That means the sprinkling of the blood has to be done with the right hand. When the Kohen puts it on the Mizbeach, Haktarah has got to be done with the right hand. Kabbalat Adam, the receiving of the blood with the right hand. So what's the question? If all the other services have to be done with the right hand, why is the Gemara singling out holacha? Bringing it to the Mizbeah is one of the four services of Avodat. So the Rashi is going to explain to us. I'll say it outside, then we'll read it inside. Holacha is not written explicitly in the Torah, whereas the other services are written explicitly. Where do we learn holacha from? The Pasuk says, Vehikribu Bnei Aaron et Adam. What does Vehikribu teach us? Vehikribu literally teaches us the Mizvah of Kabbalat Adam. You can't bring the blood close to the Mizbeah unless you catch it first. So Vehikribu is telling me the service of Kabbalat Adam. However, the Achamim learn from this another service as well. Vehikribu is not only Kabbalat Adam, but it's also teaching us holacha. But it's not explicit. We're learning it from Kabbalah. Okay? Now, we have a rule. Anytime it says by a service word Kohen, we learn that it has to be done with his right hand. That's a derash the Gemara makes. Kohen, got to be done with the right hand. Now, by Kabbalah, v'ekribu b'nei Aaron, HaKohanim, it says the word Kohen. But that's by Kabbalah. So we want to know, you're learning holacha from Kabbalah,
do you learn also the Kohen aspect that it's got to be with the right hand? The stuff that's written explicitly in She'elah, when it says Kohen, it's right hand. Here you're learning a service that's not written from a service that is written. So how far do you go? Do you go, it's exactly like Kabbalah, just like Kabbalah's got to be with the right hand, so this has got to be with the right hand? Or do you say, no, maybe you just learned that there's an avodah called holacha, meaning bringing it to the mizbeach, but it can be even done with the left. Let's read Rashi now inside. Holacha b'smol mahu. Holacha tadam miv'ele. This question is by holacha. Kabbalah v'zirika, by the Kabbalah tadam and the zirika, dichti b'ukehuna, it says the word Kohen by the Shitalan, the kol makom shenamar etzba v'kehuna. Anytime it either says the word etzba, meaning the finger of the Kohen with sprinkling, or kehuna, ena ela yamin. We know that. Aval holacha lo ketiv behedya. Holacha is not written explicitly. Umidafke rachmana le kabbalah bilshon holacha. We only know it because when the Torah teaches us kabbalah, it used the word v'ekribu, and v'ekribu could also mean he brought it close to the Mizbayah. So we learn holacha from Kabbalah. The Tanya v'kribu su Kabbalat Adam. Nafkala masichut ha'gigga. Shi avodah umi u'semol ikal amad v'lo pasil. Da lo katab ha'keuna behedya. I could argue and say, since I don't have a pasuk explicitly for holacha, therefore don't say keuna explicitly for it. Maybe semol is okay. So the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. Now, amalu rav sheshat, tanituha. Rav sheshat said, we have the Firush Mishnah. Natal et ha'machta b'mino, ותקף בשמאלו. Our case is the ketoret of Yom Kippur. He holds the coals in his right hand, and he holds the ketoret in his left hand. So you see, he's walking the ketoret into the Kodesh Kodashim in his left hand. So you see what holacha is kasher b'smol. Now, that's not saying a big hadush, because if you wanted to, you could argue on this proof. You could say, like we've been always saying, that's no proof over there. Number one, the holacha b'smol is only because of external reasons. Because either it's too heavy, the coals, therefore we give it in his right hand, or like we learned, the coals are hot. Which means, maybe I could argue, normally you got to do it in your right hand. Here is a special case, why we let you do it in your left. But still, Rav Sheshat says no. He disregards those differences, and he still says the proof is from where the ketoret that they bring on Kippur into the Kodesh Kodashim. So again, Rav Sheshar obviously had no problem with this chiluk of that you could say the ketoret of Yom Kippur, the only reason why they let him do it in his left hand is because there's no options for him to do it, because we want him to do it in his, hold the coals in his right hand because it's heavy and it's hot, etc. So the Tosafot on the bottom, Dibur HaMatchil Holacha B'Smol Mahu, answers this question. And he says, meaning to explain Rav Sheshat, he says like this: the Torah demands the Kohen to bring it in simultaneously. That's a Torah law. You cannot bring it in at two separate shots, meaning you got to bring the coals and the ketoret at one shot. So the Torah knew that it's going to end up having to happen, that he's going to have to carry the ketoret in his left hand. And the Torah allowed it. If left was no good, the Torah would not demand to bring it in one shot. So from the fact that the Torah demands to bring it in one shot, that means the Torah implicitly is telling you left hand is okay. So Rav Sheshat is saying, finish. The Torah is saying it's okay. Don't tell me because it's an exception, not except the Torah sanctioned it. Once the Torah sanctions it, because it had a way out. You could have told me, bring the coals in with your right hand, go back out, bring the ketoret with your hands, with your right hand. So therefore, the fact that it says that the Torah allows you to do it in one shot, or tells you to do it in one shot, that's sanctioning left. That's not sheshat. So comes the Gemara and says, v'nifshot li'u me'ad etnan. What do you mean? You could have brought it from a different proof as well. We have a Mishnah that says, ha'regel shel yamin b'smol. Regarding the tamid, so we learned that they would bring the tamid in parts, up the kibbish, up the rimp of the Mizbayah. So it says they would take the regel shel yamin, that's the hind right leg, bismol. The Kohen would carry it in his left hand. He would actually carry the head in his right hand, which is hashuv, and the leg in his left hand, bringing it up to the Mizbayah. Ubet ora lahutz. The place of the skinning is facing outwardly, meaning when you cut the leg, the place of the cut is facing the Kohen, because it would not be proper for the face of the cut to be facing outwardly. So the place of the cut faces the Kohen, and where the skinning was done is facing outwardly. That's what it's bet ora lahutz. That's just telling you the position that he carries it. But Barama the Gemara is saying, why can't you bring it from this proof? Barama, if we're letting him carry the leg in the left hand, that's holacha. That's a service. So the Gemara says, "Imeatam hava minahani midi holacha de lo ma'akeba kapara." I can tell you, no proof, because bringing of the leg is not an item that brings kapara. Which part of the animal brings kapara? The sprinkling of the blood, and by ketoret would be the ketoret itself is a mechaper. However, bringing the leg up to the mizbeah, of course it's a mitzvah, but it's not a kapara item. So I can argue and say, on non-kapara items, left hand works. But I would think that maybe holacha that brings the kapara, maybe you got to do it in your right hand. That's why I brought me the proof of ketoret, because ketoret is bringing it, is going to eventually bring me to kapara when you bring it in the Kodesh Kodashim. And still is telling you can do it in your left hand. Kamash ma'alan, that what? That even a kapara item can be done in the left. So the leg is not a good proof. Because leg is not kapara. Which means, let's say you brought the korban and you didn't end up even burning the animal on the mizbeah. I'm bringing it up to mizbeah. You got kapara. Once the Kohen sprinkles the blood, it's over. Oh, lachaz mitzvah, pegam mitzvah, it's not mechaper. Mashigin the ketoret. When you bring it in there, that's the kapara. So therefore, the ketoret proof is a better proof. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.